This weekend, we've been, some of us, participating in the 40-hour famine here at Agora. And at the moment, there's about 35 youth, plus a bunch of our young adult leaders, are out sussing out Frankton Village, exploring where they would find different bits of information and resources if they'd arrived in Frankton Village and they didn't know the town, which most of them actually don't know Frankton Village, and they're out for a couple of hours having to get orientated to a new part of the city for most of them. I want to talk a little bit later about our experience of 40-hour famine this weekend. It hasn't been a famine of food, it's been a famine of resources to simulate some of the experience of refugees. I want to give you a little bit of information. If we just go to the slide that's after this PowerPoint, the one that's just about the online slide, thanks. That would be cool. So I'll give you the housekeeping details now, because then I want to start into what's been going on for us as a group here for the weekend, and also to tie that into our sermon series, Gifted. But I'll just give you some stuff first. So for 40-hour famine this year, what's been happening is that young people, instead of going without food for 40 hours, because it's supporting the Syrian refugee crisis, and one of the things that it's funding at Jordan is a school. World Vision is funding a school there for kids who basically can't go to school while they're in refugee camps, so World Vision has set up a school there. We're helping towards that, and if you want to help contribute towards that, there's a few ways you can do it. But what our kids have been doing is they had to pack a backpack on Friday night in 10 minutes and fill it up with what they needed for the weekend, and then live out of what they carry on their back for the weekend. And so they've been doing that really well. They were allowed one extra piece of bedding that they could carry in their hand that wasn't in their backpack. So Carl Sinclair, he's pretty, you know, innovative kind of guy. So he had a swag. You know what a swag is? Like, it's like a whole tent, sleeping bag, house in one. So little Darnay has the swag that's bigger than she is, and she brings her one piece of bedding. So she was sorted. So the kids have been doing that, and they've been getting sponsors. And if you would like to contribute towards the crisis that has occurred, and towards what World Vision are doing, you can do that today as part of your giving here at CBC. So, like, just as normal, down the back we've got our giving station with the giving box, and there's envelopes there. If you wanted to give to World Vision, all you do is put your gift in one of the envelopes and write on that envelope World Vision or 40-hour famine, and it will get there. The other thing you can do is you can go online. So if you just type in 40-hour famine NZ, it'll take you to World Vision's 40-hour famine. And if you do a search of groups to support, to sponsor, you can plug in Agora and you'll come up with Agora Community Trust, and you can sponsor our kids like as a group on there. So that's another way that you can give. And the other way is just PushPay, if we can just bring that up, is for some of you, you have now hooked up on your phones PushPay. If you haven't, that's how you get on there. But under PushPay, under the City Bible Church giving there, you'll see a category now called special. Okay, so when we have a special category, we'll tell you what that's for. So for the next week, special is for 40-hour famine. So if you want to give through PushPay, you can do that, and we'll pass that gift on to World Vision to sponsor our kids. So that's all clear? Cool, so there's a few different ways, online, through the box, or the PushPay. And you can, it's like supporting our kids and encouraging what they're doing, but it's greater than that. It's actually helping a real need over there. But what I want to talk to you about is a little bit about this weekend, and then tie that into the series we're in and Gifted. So we can watch a video like that and be a little bit moved. And if we're not moved, it's because we've seen so much of it that we actually become media saturated. But like, even with that media saturation, there's a little bit of something that just digs in, doesn't there, when you watch that? That happen, like as you're watching that, you can't help but just go, oh man, it's tough. And I know, like in our Gifted series, one of the things, and we're going to recap on this soon, is we looked at what we've each been given. Not talking about spiritual gifts right here, just what we've been given in life and place and time that we live in. And I've got to tell you, like, out of the 40 kids we had here for most of the weekend, I think we're down to about 35 now. We didn't lose the other five. We just, they've had other things on. But is that for close to half of those children, youth, that are out around the streets of Frankton right now, they have some kind of a story like the stories on screen. So it's not in Jordan. It's actually, some of that's here in Hamilton. Some of it's across the office from you. Some of it's in the desk next to you at school. Some of it's in your neighborhood. Some of it's across the fence from you. And you might not even know it. Or you know a little bit of it, but it's too awkward. Like I've got three new friends that I've known for about 5-6 weeks now, and they're out walking around the streets of Frankton today. And I was talking to one of them yesterday, and he's doing the 40-hour famine, and him and his brothers have gathered like all this money to give to help Syrian refugees. And I was just saying to him, like, tell me your story. Like, what is your story? And he's like, well, we ended up as a family with some enemies. And this very little English, so he's just choosing the words that he knows. And what that means, I'm not sure. But some enemies. And then one day, Dad left the house and Dad never came back because the enemies got him. And his dad died. So it's a bit like the story of the guy in there. It's like, my friend is dead. I'm talking to this young guy yesterday, my dad is dead. And then quite a few years later, they had to leave their country. So how did you leave? Well, we walked, and we caught buses where we could, and then we walked. Seven kids and a mum. And then they arrived in another country where they weren't allowed to be. I said, well, what did you do there? We lived in the house for 3 years. So what do you mean you lived in the house for 3 years? Well, mum was allowed to go outside the house, so we lived in the house for 3 years. They weren't in a refugee camp, but they were in a prison. 3 years. Teenage kids in a house for 3 years. Like, get that. It's like, you have been gifted the times and places that you live. But you've been gifted to give. And I would even say that these young guys, in their own way, we could say they've been gifted way less, but there's still the sense which they want to give to others because they're on 40-hour famine. And then eventually they came here. And it's said that New Zealand is a very friendly place, but it's very hard to make friends. And that's the experience that we're hearing over and over again from former refugees and migrants who come to our country, is that we are such a friendly place and this is such a peaceful place and there's so much room because there's not many people here, but that it's very hard to make friends. And we have this amazing opportunity to, as gifted people with life and space and time, to be gifted to give to others. So important. Oh, we're there already. Cool. Didn't realise that. That's all right. I want us to back up and think about our gifted series, and we'll come back to this 40-hour famine thing soon. So it's going to be a bit rambly today. So settle on in. Okay. When we think about the series Gifted, we're pausing today. So we've done a whole lot of stuff over the last 9 weeks. We're taking a pause today just to reflect on the last nine Sundays that we've looked at Gifted before next week. So Dave next week is going to come and give us a message that him and Jeremy have been working around, and they're going to introduce us to a workshop that's going to be done in small groups that's about finding your spiritual gift. Okay, so that's going to be a really cool part of our Gifted series. It's sort of like coming to this point where we're going to give an opportunity for you to really explore, like, what might my gift or gifts be that the Spirit has given me. But before we do that, as we pause, want to clarify, like, the journey we've been on and remind you of some stuff, because for some of you, next week, you're going to listen to the message, you go, what's my gift, what's my gift? And then you're going to join up with one of the small groups and you're going to complete the survey and you're going to tick the box and go, I've got it, you know? And you might not. Or you might have it, but then you might restrict yourself from a whole life of being a gift to the church by trying to do your gift. And I want to give you some, hopefully some clarity around the concept of gifts and being a gifted person and being a gift to the church, so that maybe we don't fall into that trap of just trying to tick a box ourselves in and realize that this idea of the Holy Spirit having gifted us and gifting us to the church is much more than discovering your gift. Check out some of these quotes. These have been helpful for me in my thinking. Okay, so just, this one. The way the Spirit works through a person for the good of the community. That's his definition of a gift. The way a Spirit works through a person for the good of the community. As the Spirit works through each person for the good of the community, each person is a gift to the church. We would do well to have less concern about identifying gifts and more concern about being a gift. And we've talked about this. And I think it's an important concept for us to just pause on and think about yourself for a moment. So, one idea, and I think it's a truth still, is that the Holy Spirit, you having come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit gives you gifts. And one we looked at for quite a bit was the gift of encouragement, the ability to come alongside and stand beside somebody and speak God's truth as it applies into their lives. Like, that might be a gift that God has given you. But we equally need to realize that each one of you are given as a gift to the family, the church, the body of Christ. And there is a subtle difference, but it's significant. Because what it means is that if you are given as a gift to the church, that means your responsibility isn't only, if you've got the gift of encouragement, to be an encourager. If you've been given as a gift to the church and you have a gift of encouragement, yes, you should encourage. But if you were a gift to the church, that means the church now owns you in a really healthy way. That your life is a gift. That in fact all the other one another's are still part of who you are and what you bring to the body. Though you bring some special skill, some special ability that the Spirit can use you mightily in the body, you're also given generally to the body as a gift. So you might think about something that you are good at, something that you are skilled at, something that you might even see right now as your spiritual gift. I would say, yes, think about what God has given you, but also consider that you are a gift to the body. Look at this quote. Any combination of talents, abilities, and endowments, however suddenly given or leisurely cultivated, may qualify as spiritual gift if a believer uses them for God's glory and his work in the world. I like that, and I think Dave will talk a little bit about this next week, but where it says there, however suddenly given or leisurely cultivated, they're carefully chosen words there. So it's this thought that there are times when God, by his Spirit, gifts you. And it could be that when you came to Christ that he's actually given you like a new gift, a new ability that you didn't have before. It could be sometimes that a gift might be given for a moment or a season. So it might not be your greatest strength, but opportunity arises and God's Spirit empowers you for a task and you fulfill that well. And that's like this gift. But then also there can be this leisurely cultivated thing, which sounds a lot more natural. It's like what's going on in your life continually can be God gifting you. And look at this next one. The natural order is sacralized by being owned by Christ. I think this is important because some people, you'll be wondering, oh, so when I trusted Christ, did suddenly I get this brand new thing? Or next week, am I going to get this new gift? Or will I do the course that Dave and Jeremy are putting together, the guide to giftedness, and I'm going to suddenly get it? Well, that may happen in some cases. But most of the time what will happen is in your life there's this almost like natural order of things going on and who you are, who God has designed you to be, and who life is shaping you to be. And there comes a point when that is surrendered to Christ, when he owns that, then it's made holy. It's made special and it can be empowered by him. And then the last quote was just this definition that we had sort of as we began to look at spiritual gifts. A gift of the Spirit, whether an ability given by the Spirit to an individual or an individual with abilities given by the Spirit to the church, that's those two things I was talking about before, whether we're given a gift or seen ourselves as being as a gift to the church, or both, that these two things is the way and work the Spirit uses to grow the body of Christ for the glory of the Father. Those last two things are important. They are the purposes of our giftedness and us being a gift to the church. Is the whole purpose is not for us to have a gift, like we said, to be a little kid on Christmas morning and gather our gifts in the corner and play with them. But the gifts are given to be given. We're gifted to give. And so there's this idea that all that I've been given is to build up the body of Christ for the glory of God. That's what 1 Peter looks at, where Peter writes about that we're to serve one another with the gifts so that God would be praised. So just flicking through like the series that we've been on. So just go to that next slide, thanks. So we started off with gifted. What were some of those key things that were gifted? Like from when you are born, what are you gifted with straight away? What were some of those things? And remember? Come on, I've already said about three of them today already, earlier. Breath is one. What was it over here? Time. The times we live in, the places we live. What else? Family, the family we're born into. Yep. The country we're born into. Natural abilities. There's a whole lot of things that we are gifted. It's all good and well to think about the gifts, but go, man, you are gifted. And you've been gifted with much. So much. But then our second week, given more, I love this idea. Just flick the next one, thanks. Is that we've been gifted in order to give. It's this idea of like, you know, like you have a seed and the seed goes into the ground and then the plant grows and then the plant goes to seed and the seed goes into the ground and the plant grows. It's like the order of creation. And that, even in a spiritual sense, that's the order, is that what is given to us, almost there's a sense in which it has to die to live, to reproduce. And that's what's going on with this whole idea of being gifted, is that we're given so much in order to give out. In fact, what that would tell me is that you're given more than you need. I'm given more than I need. It's like that one little, you know, corn that goes into the ground and then there's suddenly a crop and then there's all the corn, isn't there? There's abundance so that can all be sown and multiplied. Have you thought about that, about your life? That you're not given life to be lived in isolation, but to multiply all that you are given. So that's this idea, gifted to give. We thought about that lady who came and met Jesus at the well, and he talked about that in her there could be a spring of living water that would overflow. And then we saw that actually played out in her story, didn't we? As she went back to the village and said to everyone, you need to come with me and meet the man who told me everything I ever did. And then they all come out and they all meet Jesus and they believe because they finally meet him face to face. There's that multiplication that goes on so quickly to the one who receives. The next week we looked at this, the indescribable gift. It's the example of Jesus. We looked at that Easter weekend. That if we think about a life that's gifted to give, we just have to keep going back to Jesus. That ultimately he's given his life for us. So there's two things. One is that's the source of our ability to give, but also he's the great example. We looked at the fact that he was a joyful giver, that he was a generous giver, that he was a cheerful giver. And they're all part of how we need to live out our lives. The next week we looked at this great gift giver that we've been given. That when we trust in Jesus, Jesus said, I won't leave you alone. I'm going to give you another one of me, just like me. And he sends his Holy Spirit to live in us. And the amazing thing is that the Holy Spirit, as he's given to us, he comes bearing gifts. He comes to live in us, to give us security of life forever, to place us into God's family, to do a work in us of making us more like Jesus, but also to give us gifts to give away to others. Dave then took us to diversity. United. It's just such a special week in the series, I think, because it brings this whole idea of us, all of us, as diverse as we are, being brought together by one faith in Jesus, indwelt by one Holy Spirit, to be one united body. And Jesus would would be the head of that body. This would be a picture as if it's his body. But every one of us would be different. Just like the human body has a whole lot of different parts. Great diversity, but united. Diversity not meaning like, oh, you're different, you don't belong. Diversity meaning, oh, you're different, you are needed here. Because we all need each other. And remember, I love that piece that Dave said at the end where he talked about the fact that no one contribution is insignificant. That every part of the body is important. Remember, he talked about having his appendix and him suddenly knowing that when his body was not functioning right, the whole body was affected. So that can happen like on a negative and a positive. And so into that comes this idea of us each being uniquely gifted to contribute to the body. And then the next week we looked at a powerful partnership. This unbalanced partnership where Almighty God, Holy Spirit, coming in us, and then there's us who are like, what are we? And he goes, no, I want to partner with you. I want to work with you. And it's almost like he's the power, and we're just like that conduit. We're just like that pipe. We're just like that cable. We're water. We're electricity. We're whatever the power is just surges through. And we looked at what does it look like to be in that powerful partnership? There were three things we looked at. Can you remember what they were? They're really important. We're going to talk about them mainly today. You remember them? Come on, team. Most important part of the 9-week series. No one can remember. Man. And we've said them almost every week since this week. It's how we should be in the partnership. First one starts with an H. Humble. We should have a humble posture. Next one with a W. What was that? Willing. A willing spirit. And then last one is A and an E. Not for A and E, but A and E. Anyone remember? That's the tricky one. It's always hard when you get number three. Active engagement. And I'll talk more about that later, but this powerful partnership, I think, is probably the key to the effectiveness of our gifts. And then we took 3 weeks just looking at some of the gifts. We looked at the words gifts. The need that these amazing gifts where the Spirit can move us to bring words to one another. The need for those words to be in a safe, loving community. And the words to be real, where they come from like an authentic faith. The words to be grounded in the Word of God. And the words to be part of a journey. Not like where we suddenly have words for somebody and we spew them out and dump them on them and do a runner. But we actually speak words of life into people's lives and we journey those words with them. We looked at wonders at some of these, what we would deem supernatural gifts, but also been reminded that all the gifts are wonderful. That in fact, often with these gifts, we looked at, for example, the gift of healing and the fact that we need to be those who will pray for the healing of those who suffer. But we equally need to remember that the context to that, the community, that is a loving community. So we need to love those who suffer as well. So we would be praying for healing, but we would be loving those in the journey, knowing that in some cases the ultimate healing won't come until they are with Christ. We looked at the need that some of these wonders, gifts of words spoken need to be words that are about building up others and not for your personal gain. And then we looked at the third week on gifts. We looked at the works gifts. And for me, that was the week I was really challenged as I thought about the many people who have been servers, like using their gifts to serve the body and to serve into my life. And it motivated me in two ways. And I hope it did that for you that day as you wrote down the people that have impacted your life. It made me really thankful that God just had brought all these people around my life to build into my life. Really thankful. But equally, it made me go, man, I want to be a server. I want to be, you know, like others have been to me, I want to be that to others. So that was like looking at our gifts. So there's like that's like our collective of where we've been, okay? Gifted, given more, an indescribable gift, the gift that gives, diversity united, a powerful partnership, words, wonders, works. So that's all cool. That's like our series wrapped up. Dave's going to tell you next week what your gift is, okay? And then we're done, all right? I want to talk about this weekend what I've observed at our 40-hour famine and how I think it strongly relates to this series. So we'll go back to that PowerPoint, thanks, and we'll work our way through that. So what happened is we got our 40 youth together for 40-hour famine. That was cool, 40-40. We didn't know that was going to work. It might have been 41, but 40 sounds better. But, just so we'll go to that PowerPoint of the security thing, because, yeah, there were some dodgy people. So we arrived at Boundary Road at the Migrant Centre. And when we got to the Migrant Centre, the reason we went there is because when somebody is a refugee and they come to Hamilton to live, the first building they walk into is the Migrant Centre on Boundary Road. It's the very first place they go. So we wanted to start there. So we began there, and with their little backpacks on, in the rain, they had to walk to Agora. Cool way to start things, because normally if you've had to do a runner, you've got to do a runner. You've got to walk somewhere. And so they walked here, they had to walk on different routes here, and finally found their way here and had to gather up some information as they came. And as they came in the door, they had to go through security and get entrance into our refugee camp here. And so they did that, which was pretty cool. Just go to the next slide. And so we had six different teams. And as you can see, there's great diversity in our teams, which I think was cool. When we came into this space, we were welcomed in here with a pōwhiri with Harataki and Shona, and they welcomed us in. Harataki spoke to the youth in Māori and then in English and really encouraged them around their diversity and what it meant to come together and be united. And then we all got to share the hongi, which was really symbolic of a closeness, of a coming together and a being one together as you would share like breath together. It was really interesting because there was a lot of people, I know Sarah's nodding, there's a lot of people who have never hongied before, and that was really obvious, trying to do the forehead-nose thing, and people were like bumping heads and breaking noses and all sorts. But I don't know what you other, the couple of our leaders are here, but it was significant. It was really significant because you had great diversity getting this close. And I was thinking, where else does this happen? You know? So you've got a young Muslim girl from Thailand and Burma, and she's hongi with Sarah and then with Russell. And you go, where else does that happen? And it was an amazing moment. And then following that, we had Octave share with us. So Octave is part of our church family. He lives up North Shore in Auckland now, and he's a former refugee. And he shared his story about coming from Congo Brazzaville to Gabon to New Zealand and what it was like growing up here through high school. And he just shared with the kids. And his story is another one of those local, close to us, but real stories, just like we hear on the screen, you know. So that was awesome. Then from there, we did lots of activities over the weekend to try and get the kids thinking about this whole thing of sharing of resources and why certain countries end up in the state they do and why certain people end up in the places they do. Just flick the next one. And then Red Cross came to visit us yesterday, which was cool. So we were working for World Vision, but we thought we'd bring the Red Cross in anyway, and because we have a partnership with them. And so they did some first response stuff with us around emergencies, which was real cool. Just flick the next slide. And we had young Jade in there. We comatized him and wrapped him up in the sun in a silver blanket, and he went bright red, so that was pretty cool. And next slide, and that's our crew there. So anyway, here's what I saw in the weekend as we got together. I saw a group of followers of Jesus who are indwelt by the Spirit of God. I saw them take up humble posture with a willing spirit and get actively engaged. That's what I saw. Now, you can say, oh, did you see anybody's gift? Did you see anybody use their gift? Yeah, I did, but that's not what I was looking for. What I saw was a community of followers of Jesus expressing the love of Jesus, just like they're doing right now out on Franklin Street. Just doing that. And the gifts are all at work, even if people don't know it, because there's a humble posture and a willing spirit and active engagement. This is what it's like. This humble posture, it was awesome over the weekend, and I know that some of you have experienced this because you've worked with some of these leaders in their specific ministry. So this event was an Agora event, not a CBC event, and we'd invited Stomp, our junior youth, and Checkpoint, our senior youth, and so their leaders came, and we'd invited some of our teens from our Converse language school, so they came, and we invited some others that we know through the Colombian community, and they came. So we had these four groups, and we had a diverse group of leaders, but the common thing with all the leaders was they all knew Christ and were wanting to serve him. It didn't matter who I asked and what I asked them to do over the weekend. There was a humble posture, just a humility there. It's like, can you clean the toilets? Yep, okay, go and clean the toilets. It's like, it didn't matter. There was just this, the humble posture and the willing spirit sort of go together, but what I saw, I'm talking about that real attitude, just of going, yeah, I'm just here. I'm not worried whether I am doing the job up the front or down the back. I'm just here. And then you saw this willing spirit. And where I see this is really cool is, like, I contacted Harutaki and Shona, and I said, just earlier in the week, I said, can you guys come down and help us with the porphyry? And they were like, oh, man, we've got this and this on, but we'll come back to you. And, like, about 10 minutes later, it's like, yeah, we can. I'm like, you sure? It's only a short piece, and it's only, you know, to 40 youth. And they're like, no, we'll be there. So they live in Auckland. So they finish a full day's work, and they just rock on down here. And then they have to wait in here for 2 hours because we're youth and we're mucking around, getting from Boundary Road to here and through our whole processing. And then I just see this humble posture and this willing spirit. They're like willing to just go, we'll give up Friday night. We'll just come and serve. They're not going, oh, I wonder what my gift is right now. Oh, yeah, I need to go and use my... They're just going, I'm available. And then active engagement, so when they got here, they come and they wait. And I just saw this humility as they wait. And then as people come on in, they are using their gift. And they're actively engaged. But it's more than that, following the hongi, I just watch, you know, and there's a couple of our former refugee youth are just sitting here. And I see Harutaki, he just comes over and he just sits down with them and he just starts dialoguing with them. And there's this active engagement going on, just loving. And then it's like I contact Octaves and say, hey, would you come on down and share your story on either Friday night or Saturday night? Just come on down, share your story. And he goes, yeah, I'd love to do that. Like, I'll do that. And then it wasn't until last week that I realized when he said that, he said, yeah, I'm going to 40-hour famine. Like, so he wasn't able to do the whole 40 hours because of some other things. But he actually came Friday night and he arrived. I thought he was just coming here, like, to do his, like, hour. He comes to the migrant center. And he's there with us there. Then he comes back here. Then he does his... Oh, I've lost that photo. That photo of... Oh, we're going all over the place. Doesn't matter. Sorry, confusingness. So you've got... he's here, and he tells a story. But he brought his backpack with everything in his backpack to live by. And he sleeps on the hard floor overnight. And he's amongst the youth until he has to scoot off on Saturday. But I see just that humble posture, willing spirit, active engagement going on. Has he got some gifts? Yeah, he does. Do I see that? Yeah, I do. Is he thinking about what's my gift? What should I do? I don't actually think so. I think he's just getting the call and going like, yeah, I'd do that. And then when he comes, I'll engage. And then you see it flow. I see it with the leaders who are out there at the moment. It's like they've worked hard the last couple of weeks just putting the program together, doing each of their part, and now they're just humble posture, willing spirit, active engagement. I know that we've been going over this stuff, but I want to say it again, that next week, as we start to look at our gifts, do that, explore that. Try and find out how God's designed you and wired you, and man, make... Grow in that area and use that gifting for God's glory and to serve others. But don't let it define you, to somehow box you in so that you look around going, oh, nothing for me to do right now, nothing. Oh, I can do that. No, be somebody that's just got humble posture going, God, it's you, it's your spirit that is the power in this partnership. I'm just the conduit, but I'm just humbly here, just going, not much to bring, but what I have, I just want to give to you. Humble posture. And then a willing spirit saying, and when you give me opportunity, I will say yes. Send me. I will say yes, I'm available. And then into that, actively engage. Because this is a tricky part, okay? And I've watched this on the weekend. Is from Friday night till Saturday night, I watched our young leaders gear up to that active engagement more as relationship built. Because when I'm talking about active engagement, I'm not talking about getting a lot of stuff done. This is a body we're talking about, members of a family. And active engagement does mean stuff gets done, but it means as it's done, it's very people-orientated. So even if it's a practical task, it's with thought that this is serving the other. And you see that grow as we spend time together, and this active engagement around tasks and time becomes an active engagement around relationship. And that's what I say, like, as a church family, there's going to be a difference between us all getting the jobs done and us being actively engaged in each other's lives and being a healthy body. And it's going to come from the humble posture, willing spirit. It's not like a volunteer thing where we just go, we've got a whole lot of jobs need done, who will volunteer? Let's tick those boxes. That's not what this series is about. It's about going, because I realize that God has given so much to me, I'm just humbly there and I'm willing to offer it back to him, and therefore I will engage. Just flick to that next slide, because I think this stuff was really important and we sort of touched on it last week, is that in a healthy body, all the gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, we talked about all the gifts are wonderful last week. Sometimes we can be looking for the wonderful gifts, not realizing that all the gifts are wonderful. Over this weekend, we have a couple of gifted administrators. So one of them is Sarah Natsky, another one is Stacey Stewart, and it's like you watch them work out of their gifting, and it's amazing. And it's actually wonderful when the Holy Spirit takes that and uses that for the Father's glory and for the building up of the body and for reaching out to others. And you just go, man, you, like, sometimes I think we can go, these gifts are wonderful, these gifts are powerful, these gifts are ordinary. And I hope you caught that the other week when we looked at the works gifts of going, when you think about your life and those that have served you in your life, there is nothing ordinary about that. That when God uses people in your life around the really practical, that can be a powerful thing. I think one of the things that I want to just touch on today was this, that the more prominent gifts, if you like, say like gifts like leading and teaching, those kind of gifts, there's an obvious side to them that's open to them being misused. So for personal gain, for them being a controlling thing, for them not honoring God. Equally, they can be a powerful gift when empowered by God because of the impact they can have on multiple people. But the same is true of the more private or personal or behind-the-scenes gifts. Like, it's quite possible to be gifted as a helper or as a server, an administrator, and to equally find your identity in the gift rather than in Jesus. It's equally possible to do those things more for selfish gain than for the good of others. It's equally possible to neglect those gifts and not use them as you should, just as it is with more prominent gifts. But in the same way, you can also be surrendering those gifts to God. And sometimes I think don't think this way. It's like, oh, I have to preach this Sunday, so I start praying about my message and asking God to use me, and other people come around and pray that God would use me, and even on a Sunday morning, people are praying, Holy Spirit, would you please give Campbell words to speak, all that, you know? And then you go, so somebody's making coffee in a few minutes out there. What does that journey look like in the week? Lord, I'm making coffee this weekend. I just pray that you would use me as I do that. Use the way that I speak to people as I serve them, and the smile that I give them and the skills that I have. And it was great this morning. I mean, just as before service, you know, my friend Murray comes and says, can I pray for you? And I'm like, yeah. And so he prays for me for my preaching. But has anybody gone and prayed for the barista today? You know, so I know Laura's not the barista, but Laura's the barista. And we just go, Laura, just can I pray for you today as you serve making coffee? Lord, just use Laura today as she makes the coffee. Just use her by your spirit to use her gift for you. There's a need to realize that all the gifts need to be empowered by the Spirit. But all the gifts need to be used for the body. And that's that thing we've been talking about several weeks, you know, is that the gifts are not for our own use. Though the gifts are to be given, they're to be served, and they're all to be used in love. That's massive. They are not about just doing things well or successful. They are about building people up into a loving community. They need to be about love. Just go to 1 Peter with me, just as we're wrapping up. 1 Peter 4. This little passage that Peter writes is probably the most concise verses we have about spiritual gifts. So 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. And just as we've noted, with every time we read about the gifts, they sit into a context of what? What's the word? Love. Thank you, Laura. Everyone. Look at this one. It's no different. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I was just thinking about that. Above all, love each other deeply. That's echoing what Paul writes, remember, that we've been reading every week in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says, you can do all this stuff, but if it's without love, it's nothing. This is Peter's way of saying it. Above all, above everything else, above all the things that you are asked to do and who you're asked to be, above all those things, you need to love each other deeply. And then it's almost like verse 9 tells you a little bit what love looks like. It looks like offering hospitality. It looks like inviting people into your life, specifically like your home, around your table. And it's interesting that it says do it without grumbling. See what it's saying? It's saying it's possible to actually be hospitable in a sort of a bad kind of way. It's possible to tick the box of going, did my thing, loved the church, had people over for a meal, you know, without it being with that humble posture, willing spirit. And so hospitality is massive. I think that, this is just a comment to the side, is that we're not great at that. We go through seasons of that as a church family. I reckon we're probably at a little bit of a low generally at the moment. That's not speaking of everybody, but it's like, I don't know if we're all in each other's lives that much. Because that's what hospitality is. Hospitality is that thing where you go to someone's place or they come to your place or you share a meal together and you sit around a table and you meal. Something happens. It's a bit like the hongi. It's like you actually get closer. And I would just say, what does loving each other deeply look like? What would it look like around here? It would look like we would be a little bit more in each other's lives. And what would that look like? It would probably look like a table, putting our feet under each other's tables. Verse 10, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So in all these things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So that God would be praised. So yesterday, the Red Cross came. And we had two Red Cross workers come. One of them, a few of us here from Magora and CBC know really well. She's been one of our networking partners at Red Cross for several years. She's born in New Zealand, but she has a long heritage from India. And 100 years ago this month, her first grandparent came to New Zealand. And then on the other side of her family, they arrived here in the 70s. So she's really a Kiwi kid. Her family's faith is a Sikh faith, a Hindu faith. Her and I were chatting yesterday afternoon while we were waiting for the second guy to come with his truck and do the Red Cross demo. And she knows Agora quite well and some of the things that we do here with youth. And You know that verse that's similar to what Peter says in Matthew, we talked about 2 weeks ago, where let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven? Well, this young lady, she says to me, she says, I love what you guys do down at Agora. She goes, I know that it comes from your Christian faith. You don't have to say that. She goes, it's just really evident. She says, I tell a lot of people about what goes on down there and what you're doing. She said this. She says, I don't know how to describe it, but the things that I've attended here, like yesterday, she was here for quite a few hours and she lingered on longer afterwards. She said, like what's going on here now, she says, there's something different about what goes on here with this great diversity of who's here. And I can't explain what it is, but it's really good. And I got to share with her a little bit about Jesus and about why he's important to us. And that, in fact, what could divide us is actually the very thing that I believe that Jesus' call is for us to actually embrace and to welcome. And I just think, man, like what she's observing and testifying to, and in I guess her own way, I would say there's a glory to God out of that, is a body whose members are seeking to serve each other so that God would be praised. She might not be able to put language around that, but that's what she's seeing. And she chatted to some of our young leaders, and she was telling me afterwards about this one and this one. They're just remarkable people in the way that they're here and that they're serving. And I think she's a remarkable lady in what she does, but she's speaking these words of affirmation. What would that look like as this body becomes much more actively engaged with one another and then with the community and let our light shine? And you know what will happen in the whole process? You just see all the gifts. No one will. It'll be like the early church. Remember when we looked at Barnabas? It'll be like the early church where Barnabas doesn't do a survey to figure out his gift. He just gets on with doing what he does. And the apostles come to him and they go, Barnabas, that's your new name, which means son of encouragement, because that's what we see. It's evident. So next week, listen to Dave's message. Join one of the groups that's going to be functioning. Do your guide to your gift. Discover your gift. Okay? But don't let that box you in. I would still say, take a humble posture, even if it means today. Just going, God, I'm just here for you. Have a willing spirit, willingness to be just looking, eyes open, going, I'm going to step into opportunities. And then get actively engaged in loving each other. And that will be the greatest survey that you can ever do. Your gifts will become apparent. And you don't even need to know what they are. Others will see them. Others will see them. And others who don't even know Jesus will see the collective of that. And they will go, I don't know what's going on here. I can't describe it to you, but I know it's good. And there'll be a hunger created there, and we can share Christ. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you so love us, and you've gifted us life. You've gifted us eternal life through your Son, Jesus. But even pre that, you've gifted us to live here, in this place, in these times. So richly blessed and resourced. Help us to realize that we're gifted to give. May we just be generous people with all of our resources, with our finances, with our time, with the abilities you've given us. Help us to be about others. And I just pray that we would love one another deeply, and that we would open up our hearts and our families and our homes to one another in hospitality. And that we would serve as though we serve you alone. And that we would speak as though they're your words. And that you would be praised in that. And we pray for our young people who are out there right now, just as they walk these streets, and for our young leaders as they're amongst them. Oh, we just thank you for them. And we're just praying that there'll be a glimpse of your glory there. And that there'll be expressions of your love. And that the name of Jesus would be made known. Thank you for the families that are going to come soon into Agora and celebrate the end with a lunch. I want to pray for them that as they come in, they will see the difference. and they will know that it's good. But we thank you for the series we're on about gifted, and I do just pray that you'll help us to better understand how you've designed and wired us and to live into that. May this body be healthy. We're asking you, Father, to bring a health to this body by your Holy Spirit, to help us to be the body of Christ, to actually look like Jesus. Yeah, we just ask this in his precious name. Amen.